Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan. The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. What we got going on here? Baseball?
They're just watching baseball highlights.
Oh.
Yeah.
I cannot publicly comment at this time. Please respect my privacy. My Atlanta Braves lost yesterday due to a death in the family. So you won, but it's a no counties, Mariner fans. We were dealing with grief.
You guys were on bereavement leave yesterday. That was replacement players.
You were lucky.
You didn't even send the full squad. They had to go to Turner's funeral.
Yeah, we had a pickoff on base.
Did you?
What I read about because I couldn't watch the game.
No, it's blacked out.
You know, I'm blacked out.
Yeah.
But I was reading. I was like, oh, Albies didn't get a hit. His hit streak's over. That's tough. And then I saw the quote. He's like, I couldn't battle through.
No.
Ted meant too much to him.
It tears in his eyes while he's at the plate. How do you expect a guy to swing a bat in that scenario?
I mean, come on, man. What are we doing here? You guys think he won that fair and square?
My team was tied 1-1 going into the seventh inning, and they made back-to-back errors and gave up a 3-run home run and lost. We're almost 10 games below 500 now, so we got that going for us.
It's so funny for the show's sake that my team's first series loss of this season is to that pile of garbage up north.
Yeah, you've been poking that bear.
It's unbelievable.
You got to quit poking the bear.
I gambled on the bear.
Yeah, you did.
I thought they would win the whole enchilada.
And then you jinxed them in the ALCS and they blew it.
I didn't play in game seven. I'm sorry.
It's all your fault. You gave up that home run.
I did. Join us June 23rd as Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club. Foursomes are on sale now. You can choose between the morning or afternoon rounds.
Whoa.
Head to 1051thefan.com to click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for more info to sign up. We'll have Matt's Barbecue hanging out there, eating delicious brisket. And we'll all be hanging out at the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3 6th hole. The Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, and Window Nation. Got some stuff to get through here in the first segment, a little long, and then we'll get to a Landon Tangwall coming up here at the bottom of the hour.
Let's talk some football.
Very quickly, before we pivot into football, I want to... So Draymond Green was filling in for Shaquille O'Neal on Inside the NBA.
He does this usually when his team's out. He jumps on the TNT set, or the ESPN Now set, I should say, and he ruins it.
Well, what is abundantly clear is that they are trying, and he is trying, to set up his Charles Barkley post-career.
Yes.
He probably views himself as somebody that can be a better version of Charles Barkley. I think if you gave him truth serum, he'd say that.
He'd probably tell you he's one of the 10 greatest players in the history of the NBA. He's got all those rings, man, don't you know?
Well, he'd be a top 8 player if Steve Kerr wasn't his coach. I'll tell you that much right now.
If Steve Kerr unlocked him offensively, he'd be right there with LeBron and KD.
Yeah, not his decision or choice to unlock. It's Steve Kerr's who held the key to that.
They wouldn't
lock.
Let him shoot. They wouldn't even run a play for him, man.
Well, eventually Inside the NBA, because Draymond is on there and not in the postseason, was talking about winning at an older age. And so Draymond Green, it's teed up. So it starts with Draymond, but it's teed up of like winning a championship at the ages of 37 and 38, let alone 41, LeBron.
Very hard.
It's almost impossible, right? Unless you're a role guy that's latched on to a title winner.
Gary Payton in Miami.
There you go. That's a good example there. You're largely not going to do it. And Kenny Smith teased this up. Charles Barkley's given his thoughts. And they say, Draymond, winning at an old age, like, what's your goal?
I think the goal is just to not look like you in the Houston Rockets uniform.
Yeah.
Is ultimately the goal for us. Like, we don't want to.
What does that look like?
Did you see it?
I'm just asking.
I saw it. I mean, so, you know, we're always going to try to compete. When you win championships, the goal will always be to try to reach that level. Can we get back to that level? Listen, to your point. Jimmy's going to miss a lot of next year. Moses is going to miss a lot of next year. That's $70 million. $75 million of $160 million payroll. So it's going to be tough. But make no mistake about it. The goal will always be to compete at a championship standard level. Whether we win a championship or not, I think as you get older, you have to redefine what's success, right? Still the most sellouts in the NBA. Still the most national TV games in the NBA, and you just want to give yourself a chance. Success may not be for us at this point a championship, right? That's just that's the way it goes. And so I think understanding what is success at this point is key for us. Knowing and understanding that It may not be realistic to win a championship, but can we continue to build to that so that once we leave this organization, it's still in a great space of where they have that pedigree and they can try to build on that, like this work out.
Yeah. So right in front of Charles Barkley, he basically says not to be Charles Barkley on the Rockets, which Barkley doesn't say anything. He just says, yeah.
I'm surprised Barkley didn't lash out.
Well,
at that
I thought Barkley, you know, Barkley's not somebody. I don't think he like cowered down. I think Barkley was allowing him his time to explain himself.
Sure.
And then Kenny's like, "What does that look like?" And then his follow up, "We saw it. I saw it."
I mean, he was 6 years old when Barkley got to Houston.
Yeah. So no, you didn't see.
He was 9 years old when Charles Barkley retired. Yeah. So you've seen highlights of it. You weren't watching the Houston Rockets closely when you were 7 years old. None of us were.
The year that Houston got to the West Finals, I believe they got swept by Utah.
Yes.
The year they got Stockton's famous shot to walk off.
Yes.
I believe Barkley averaged that season 18 and 12.
He averaged.
In his career with Houston, he averaged 16, 12, and 4.
It would have been the 96-97 season? Or
yes.
Was that the year they got to the conference finals?
I think it was the 97.
He
yeah.
averaged 19 points and 13 and a half rebounds
there
and 5 assists a game.
Even
he was
better.
Top 16 in MVP voting, and he was an all-star.
Yeah.
His four seasons in Houston, he
also
averaged
had a 33-rebound game against Phoenix in that season.
He averaged 16.5 points as a Rocket, 12.2 rebounds, and 4 assists per game. Draymond's last four seasons are 8.6 points, 6.5 rebounds, and 6 assists per game. Like, he's a fraction of the player that Barkley ever was, let alone at the end of his career.
Well, but he's not. He has 4.
It's so stupid.
He has 4 rings, Dirt.
Yeah, and Eli Manning is better than Dan Marino. This was the reminder for me last night.
He has 2.
This was the reminder for me last night turning this on. It's just, I hate this time of year for this reason.
What?
I love that show. I don't watch it a lot during the regular season. It was weird to be on ESPN this year. It didn't quite feel the same way.
It was an odd schedule.
It was an odd schedule. There's no doubt about it.
It got watered down.
I hate that Draymond Green is invited on every postseason, that they're not on a deep postseason run.
Why? He did exactly what they wanted. We're talking about it in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he wants. Sure, it's not entertaining for me. And if he's on, it's like an immediate click for me if he's on the halftime show. I'll watch hockey over that. And if it's a quad box, I'll turn off the quad box until I get the game back on, and
right.
Then I'll turn the game back on. And it's just a reminder of, like, this dude's never going to leave our lives. And that's really depressing. He's not going to fade into the background. He's not going to go away quietly.
No, he's going to be on television, like, until television ceases.
He's
going to
be
exist.
A podcast and a TV voice for the next 50 years,
yeah.
Spewing moronic, stupid takes
he
on
is
every
going
topic
to
imaginable.
Completely change.
New media, player media. And all you spew is just the dumbest stuff I've ever heard in my entire life.
I love the new media thing, and then you don't really provide anything new and different than
Steve
the media.
Kerr held me back. Charles Barkley sucked in Houston. Like, you're a tenth of the player that Barkley ever was. I can't stand the guy. Sucks, and I wish Barkley would have gone at him a little bit harder than that.
You know, if there ever was...
Your title run's done, by the way. You're not doing squat in the next 3 years.
Again, watch...
You might be done there to begin with.
Watch them get DeBonta. It's just going to be unbelievable if they get lucky in the draft.
Even
lottery.
That, though, like, I mean, you're not... Can you ask a guy to come in right away and lead you over the top in
Do
that regard?
Do you need
regard?
Him to lead you if Jimmy Butler's healthy and Steph Curry's
When's
playing?
Jimmy Butler going to play, first off? How old is Jimmy Butler? Is Steph
Jimmy
Curry
going
to stay healthy? Draymond
no.
Green sucks in 90% of the game now.
Yeah.
Like, they were 10 games below 500
and
this year.
And they have overrated Pajemski.
The only reason that they were in the playoffs was because we saw a historic race to the bottom of the Western Conference. That's the only, not playoffs, but play-in.
Well,
that's the only reason they were the 10 seed.
Yeah, I mean, look. Draymond's just going to be a lightning rod. That's what his media career is going to be.
That's what he does.
I think the thing that I don't like, and look, Barkley does things that rub me the wrong way as a basketball fan. I love and appreciate his humor, how he's willing to speak out on anything, whether that's basketball or non-basketball. I love and will always appreciate what that show has been in my life.
Yeah.
I also, the back end of the life of this show has been largely basketball sucks. And we're the entire face of the sport show-wise.
Yeah.
And that's tough for me because I watch these games and I'm like, I have a buddy that's like been texting about the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's, I haven't watched the NBA in 4 years. This is awesome. And I'm like, dude.
Last night wasn't awesome. But
no,
the playoffs
I know,
so far
but
for them
he'd
has been awesome.
You know,
yeah.
Texting game one and the first round series. And I'm like,
right.
This has kind of been what the NBA's been for a minute. But because of what all the narratives become through the media of trades and tanking and, you know, whatever – the basketball part of it is completely lost. I mean, the thing with the sport that's interesting is how it is covered and talked about, and I know we've discussed that before on the show.
Yeah.
But as an example, as an aside, with everything that happened in the sports world yesterday, you had the hockey, you had the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? The Chicago Cubs and Major League Baseball, Chicago Cubs have three straight walk-off wins. Major League Baseball's having
a good start. Eight in a row, nine in a row, something like that, yeah.
Right. You had the NBA playoffs, and they were a little dudsy, but you had the NBA playoffs. You had all of that. And ESPN this morning does an entire segment of their morning television show on the anniversary of Michael Jordan hitting a game-winning first-round basketball shot.
Craig Elo, man.
In 1988, 87?
80, yeah, one of those years.
That's the problem with the sport. It always has to go back to what it was in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
It's never just a sole look. Like, how often do the NFL, in real time during the season, does the NFL...
Oh, you never think about flashbacks.
...dedicate
ever.
A segment to something that happened in 1991?
Never.
Never. Never.
Unless somebody breaks a record that happened then. Right. Or some random circumstance. It never happens.
Right.
Not
they don't do that in baseball.
No.
Does hockey do that?
I mean, to be fair, they don't really talk any baseball on national network
That's
channels.
Yes.
Neither does hockey.
No, I totally get
and
it.
Hockey does not get talked about
but
either.
Hockey
but no,
doesn't
they
do
don't
it.
Do that. They don't turn
but,
the clock back.
But every single season, every year, ESPN has to do a segment.
Well, they peaked in high school.
Where
man.
They show us what happened in 1993.
Back
as
in
if
my prime.
That wasn't 30 plus years ago.
That was that long ago? Is that what you're telling
me? It's just crazy to me how that whole sport has evolved from a media landscape. But you're right. Draymond is going largely
nowhere. I get the point that you're making about the show, and they certainly have not been the biggest supporters of modern basketball. So maybe that's the angle of Draymond.
I still laugh. I still find it entertaining. But when they talk ball, like, I love when people latch on to something Barkley says about our team. I'll use this as an example. If he says anything remotely complimentary,
it goes
every
viral.
Blazer fan in their you know their shadow social media account.
You see what Barkley said? Barkley likes us. Barkley picked us.
Right. And I'm like, did you also see him at halftime of Game 3 or Game 4 literally say out loud, Denny, what's his name? Doesn't even know Denny Avdia's name.
No, he has no clue.
He was an all-star. He might make All-NBA.
He's no clue.
He averaged, what, 24-7-6? Like,
sure.
Had a great year. And he's like, what's his name? Like, they're literally learning about the teams as they watch him in the playoffs. That's my only gripe with the show. I have always found the show entertaining.
There's no doubt about it. I think it's mainly just for me a larger gripe about Draymond and his place in the sports lexicon of nobody doubts that he was an impactful player for them and their championship teams. He's a great defender. He is also the definition of a guy that if he was drafted to the Sacramento Kings, he's a feisty guy who's getting kicked out of games and doesn't have a legacy to speak of whatsoever.
Maybe a more respected Dylan Brooks.
Yes, that's a
kind
great
of a
way.
Guy who ventures to a couple
Why
of
is
teams.
He getting tossed out of Sacramento all the time? Like,
but he's
okay,
all
now
NBA
he's on,
defense.
Yes.
And you know, yeah, he's a
good
defender.
Yeah. He's a good defender. Nobody doubts that.
Right.
He had an impact. I get it. But like, dude, you are the
averaged 8-6.
You were the biggest coat writer in NBA history.
That's crazy.
And now you're going to parlay it into a 50-year media career. That Teddy Ballgame's going to have to watch this guy spew nonsense 10 years from now. That doesn't make me happy.
Who is the NFL equivalent to Barkley?
To Barkley?
Is it Craig Jennings? Aaron Rodgers was your quarterback, dude.
Oh, you mean to Draymond Green?
Oh, to Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Did I say Barkley? Sorry, I meant Draymond. Just like somebody that was like, yeah, you were a good player. You weren't like amazing, but like also the place you were at with who you were with kind of made you.
That's a really good question. I want to
do it. I think it's Greg Jennings.
Greg Jennings is a good
player. I don't hate Greg Jennings. He doesn't really say anything that bothers me when I see him.
But if he did, if he was crowing like I'm, you know, Michael Irvin and Terrell Owens and Jerry Rice and Randy Moss, you'd be like, dude, sit down, Greg Jennings.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? Aaron Rodgers held me back in Green Bay. Really?
You know what I love? Michael Irvin did an interview. He did a podcast with Vernon Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a really funny. They were asking about GOAT. Oh, is all the up in the smoke pot? And Barnes asked. They've been asking all their guests, "Who's the GOAT?" Right? And then like, oh, how do you rank Kobe, MJ, LeBron? And all these people are giving their opinions. And Irvin was basically, he's basically saying in a roundabout way, they're both GOATs. They're just both GOATs in different ways. Like he thinks Michael's the GOAT basketball player.
Okay.
But LeBron's career and the way he's changed
career.
The game is also GOAT worthy.
That's a good way to say it.
However you want to use, I don't care. But it was funny because he was talking about GOATs and how uncomfortable people are giving up that title. And he goes, I've always said Jerry Rice is the GOAT. He's up here. He's right here because he was talking about Daniel Cormier hating John Jones and how John Jones is the GOAT, but Daniel Cormier will never say it out loud because that's his arch rival.
Yeah, won't acknowledge him.
And Irvin told Daniel Cormier, hey, Daniel, you can say he's the GOAT, and as soon as you're done with that S, then there's a D because you're right there. I always tell people Jerry Rice is the GOAT, but right after that E, there's an M. And that's me, Michael Irvin.
The playmaker, baby.
And I'm like, that's a good way to view it, I guess. You give somebody their flowers while saying I was also utterly amazing.
Yeah, somebody like the Gronk one's coming in. I disagree
Gronk
with that.
Gronk was... He's the best tight end of all time.
From a physically
speaking. He's the best
tight
end of all time. Yes. That's the best tight end I've ever seen play.
He would have gotten numbers wherever he went.
And I
have
saw
rings.
Tony Gonzalez's career, like start to finish. Gronk is the best tight end I've ever seen play.
Ryan Clark, I don't know if he's
that's
from a media standpoint, that's a great poll. Because Ryan Clark has done a lot in the last 2 years. I feel like he's apologizing every other month for a take that he has. Like, I want to come out and say I'm sorry. He's getting into race stuff, and he rubs people the wrong way.
Ryan Clark's a better one than Jennings, because Ryan Clark was a really good NFL player, but he wasn't, like, spectacular.
No, he's a good player.
But he also helps that he was a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yes, he played for that organization at a time in which that organization was winning a lot of games.
Ryan Clark's
going on
a great poll. That's a good one by the listeners.
Like Draymond Green, you were a part of it. Nobody doubts that. You ain't the reason. You ain't the first reason, the second reason, or the third reason.
Oh, who's the third reason?
Iguodala? Kevin Durant?
Oh, well, I mean.
They have half of their championships they won was because the greatest player in the league at the time joined their team.
You're not wrong.
They had two without him and two with him. So that's half of your championships. If you're going to sit up there and spout four rings, then you're the fourth best player because two of those rings, you weren't in the top three.
Mm. Yeah.
It went Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson.
Fair.
And in one of the finals, they won. Andre Iguodala was the finals MVP, so he might even have been fifth fiddle.
That's very fair to say by you. I totally overlooked the KD part of that.
Yeah, remember that? Remember that when he joined them after losing to them in the conference finals?
But in the way that they talked about San Antonio,
didn't lose a game for 4 years.
You will see. Klay Thompson, fat, maybe not fat, I don't know. Steph Curry, and then Draymond back at Warriors games in 15
that
years.
That you are not wrong
you
about.
You won't see Kevin Durant.
That you are not wrong about.
He'll get his flowers when they do an anniversary thing. But
yeah, they'll do a tour or something.
He's not going to be hanging around Golden State.
He's not
State.
A statue guy. He's not going to have his number retired. No. It won't be to that level.
Very quickly, because we won't have time to get to it, got to get to Landon Tangwall. Have you seen what Mark Pope is doing in Kentucky?
Other than being despised by his fan base, I have not.
So he is despised by his fan base. They are whiffing in the portal big time, and he's on the hot seat.
Yes, 1 year in.
He's basically turned to doing videos of himself reading questions and take a list. This is what it looks like and sounds like with Mark Pope.
Is Kentucky being used by players to leverage for more NIL? Yes. We're the biggest brand in basketball. Next question from at High School Top Recruiting. What changes are being made to recruiting? You have to see a problem with 14 top 20 kids visiting and landing none. What's the change? Well, the first change, I'd like to get all 20 kids to visit our campus. That's a major win and there's no limit. Second, I'd like to land a few. Third, this year we were chasing a generational talent and we fell a little short, but we weren't sitting on our hands. We put together a roster that we are going to love watching.
We're
crush
Kentucky.
It.
We'll try.
Next question from at FeltnerKev 32715. Another concern I have is we are not addressing the five spot. Also, Moreno is on the precipice of the first round. Malachi Moreno was the number one priority for us going into this portal season. We think that he's going to be the best center in all of college basketball next year here at Kentucky.
Dude.
Buddy,
it's
you
gone
are fired
so bad for him.
Three, two,
he's doing Q&A's from Twitter on video, and it's like, why do you suck? Great question, John 448822231. We don't suck. We're just saying we're working to be better. What are you doing? What other coaches are doing this?
Like he's setting up his own debate.
I really, it's
funny you ask that. Let me answer the question.
Make him look better.
Frosty the Snowman, 6969, asking, Coach, why do you flame out so early in the NCAA tournament? Great question, Frosty. Let me tell you, we can't get talent.
Tournament win was a miracle, dude. It was a half-court shot. Send the game to overtime.
Yikes, dude.
He's going to get fired. That's one.
Well, they don't make like the Elite Eight.
They were headed for a divorce. Calipari and Kentucky had kind of run its course, but seeing Calipari go on a tournament run now back-to-back years.
He's made Arkansas.
Get a cuff. Like, immediately Arkansas has become a better program than you. Overnight that has happened.
Yes, no doubt about it. All right. Landon Tangwall covers college football at large. He's broken the tape down. We'll talk to him about the expansion of the college football playoff and how the Big Ten has succeeded versus the SEC in college football. Landon Tengwall next on 105.1 The Fan. Yes, indeed. We got some college football to discuss. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network, the Odyssey app, 1080 AM, and YouTube. Fan text lines 503-864-6326. A lot more to discuss today, but we thought it'd be a lot of fun. Spring football wrapped up last weekend.
Yes, it did.
You are a sicko for it.
I watched.
You watched other team spring games.
I did.
I just watch it from afar and say, oh, that happened. Okay, cool. We'll get to fall camp, and I'll get more jacked for
That's why this guy's right up my alley, man. You're doing film breakdowns for spring games. You're hitting me where I need it.
He's a psycho, to say the least. That's former offensive lineman Penn State, good friend of the program, and national college football analyst Landon Tengwall. You can find him on Twitter, at Landon Tengwall. Find his show on YouTube as well. Good morning, Landon. Thanks for hopping on with us. You are indeed a sicko breaking down spring ball tape. What is wrong with you?
Gentlemen, good morning. Yeah, I definitely have an issue. It's not only just breaking down the whole game. I go individual players. I'm probably going to do a couple more. I got a film problem, but there was too much good on the field not to do it. I did indeed watch a lot of spring games too, and some of them it feels like you don't get a whole lot. And I actually felt like there was a good amount to learn about this Oregon roster this coming season. And you saw some young guys really pop off, too.
So I love this. By the way, this guy on his YouTube channel, he's got depth chart breakdowns post-spring.
Oh, it's amazing. Like, it's amazing.
We're doing film breakdowns for freshman offensive linemen. It's glorious. Like, if you're a sicko, absolutely glorious content. Let me ask you, and I'll even – look, let's bring Bloods and Crips together here for a moment. You did two different features for true freshman offensive linemen out of their spring games, one at Washington and one at Oregon. And I'm curious, were these guys on your radar going in? And then let Husky and Duck fans know kind of what you saw from guys who might end up being impact players right out of the gate for their programs next fall.
Yeah, so you got two true freshmen, one that was obviously committed to Oregon at one time. That's at Washington now, Cody Green. And so he's slotted to likely start them for left tackle. Had a really, really good spring game. And the biggest thing you see nowadays, and I think we've even talked about this, is the development of offensive linemen has really went down, and coaches are looking for these quality guys. And you get two big-time players in Tommy Topi for Oregon and Cody Green for Washington. So I wanted to dive into their tape. And I trust me, I know what it was like to early enroll at a school and go into spring ball and just get your butt kicked every single day. So I watch these guys that are here like pancaking dudes. They're just planting like third, fourth year player defensive ends in the dirt. And I'm like, yeah, like this means you're going to be a big time offensive lineman. So I see both of these young guys that just, you know, should still be going to prom right now are already just mauling guys in college football. So it's cool. I'm a big trenches guy. So I love breaking down O-line and D-line, and they both got a special one there. And then Oregon even has some more, talent coming in this summer. You got a five-star offensive lineman that's coming in this summer that's not even on campus yet, too.
Yeah. Landon Tengwall, our guest here, he's actually just about 14 hours ago posted his Oregon Duck post-spring depth chart preview that you can find on YouTube. Okay, so what are your takeaways? It's spring ball, right? We still have a lot of time before we get to fall ball, and then you get into the games. You start learning about teams, I think, more as the season goes on. But in looking at kind of the depth chart and seeing what you saw in spring, we've got two new coordinators here in Eugene. I'm curious, Dan Lanning, coming off a very bad playoff loss to Indiana, what did you notice or what sticks out to you about Oregon's team from spring going into fall camp?
Yeah, I think naturally when you do watch a spring game, you're not going to find a whole ton out about like the schemes, and the coaches aren't going to get too deep to it, especially if it is on TV. But you see certain players. So, I mean, for one, Evan Stewart, who has been injured for a while at wide receiver, and everybody remembers how explosive and dynamic this guy is. And it was kind of just a question of whenever someone's out for almost, well over a year, like you start to ask questions of can they get back to that same physicality and the ability to go up and track footballs and trust your body and still have that speed. And it looked like Evan Stewart has all of those things. The route running looked really crisp. Had a really, really big day out there. So I think that's a really big plus. You already know what you have in DeCorian Moore at wide receiver. I had a really nice play to end there, the spring game. And really the biggest thing is that he was really popped on the scene early and then just dealt with some injuries. So I feel like this is a name that people obviously know about him, but I feel like he's really going to pop on the scene this year in college football and going to be a household name. And then the other big question was like, look, you get your entire defensive line returning. It's such a veteran group. Those starters, there's a ton of guys that you trust that are going to play dang good football. But the biggest question is, you lost some interior defensive linemen. You lose one to Notre Dame. You lose one to Alabama. And it was kind of like, hey, Oregon's a defense that they do rotate a decent amount on that defensive line. So it was kind of like, who are these guys behind them? And they didn't really do too much in the portal with that. And then out of nowhere, Aiden Breland has like 2 or 2.5 sacks in the spring game, defensive tackle. That's really starting to come on going into year three here. And then the big one was Matthew Johnson, defensive tackle, young guy going into year two. And it's just like, it seems like the light kind of flicked on for these guys. And I think that was really, really big, because Oregon's big on being able to switch out those guys and get fresh bodies in there. And you kind of already know you had some talent at depth on the edge and Elijah rushing, and then Nasir Wyatt, who had some really, really nice pass rushes throughout the college football playoffs. So you feel like, once again, this is a defense. You obviously know what you have on the back end. Brandon Finney Jr., probably one of the best cornerbacks in America as a true sophomore this coming year. Ife Odedegwu is someone that's been playing some really high-level football. So I think nationally you still say, hey, can the linebackers on defense, play at a high level? Because that's kind of been the question over the past couple years. You get Jerry Mixon obviously coming back, who was really playing some good football for you last year when we started to play. And then Devin Jackson, was on and off. But I think both guys, showed good spring ball. So the defense really isn't the question for me. I think one of the bigger things is the offensive line. I think that's the one of the bigger worries, and you have some turnover there. You got some young guys. Especially the big takeaway, if you didn't watch the spring game, there was 10 sacks technically given up. Number one, a lot of those sacks, they would blow it dead if the defensive lineman got anywhere near the quarterback. So there was no really like true chance to elude any tackles. They just blew it down. So I think there's a couple more sacks added on than there really would have been, especially with how your quarterbacks move around. But I think the biggest question, it's not a talent question for the Oregon offensive line, because as I watch across the board in the spring game, I see unbelievable movement. These guys with great technique. Aleek Terry, the offensive line coach, clearly does a great job in getting these guys to understand what he wants from them. It's more just the gelling of offensive line is, people talk about quarterback and wide receiver being on the same page. You need that tenfold with the offensive line, because all five guys have to be on the same page. If four guys have a great block and one guy messes up, it can still be an awful play. So I think that's the biggest thing you're going to see with a decent amount of turnover on this offensive line, is like, how are they gelling? How are they communicating with each other? But overall, I don't, it's not too much of a concern of mine of this offensive line having like poor offensive line play on this Oregon offense.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal breakdown of the spring game. I'm having a blast right now. You guys having fun? This is glorious.
More than you gave me.
Well, you wouldn't let me give the time. You didn't ask me the questions, man. I watched the game.
We got a better breakdown film watcher there.
Let me ask you this, though. So I'm curious, when you look at the Big Ten next year, it feels like everybody going into the year will be, Indiana national champion, obviously. Ohio State is Ohio State, and Oregon returning all the pieces are returning. That's kind of your big three at the top, and then maybe a next group of teams. I'm wondering if you see it that way, and as you've kind of perused through other spring games, you mentioned some highlights from Washington, USC with big expectations, Michigan to change a head coach. Like, do you buy stock in one of those teams in the next tier to either be in that or make that jump up this year? Like, how do you kind of view the pecking order at the top of the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think it's very clear right now, especially after what happened with Penn State, that it is just those three sitting atop, because you look across the board and you get flashes of these, Washingtons, of these, Maryland will come on the scene for a little bit every year and then just completely fall off, it feels like, the whole Penn State fiasco. I think as much as Penn State is a very easy schedule, they don't play any of those top three teams that you mentioned. So they might have a decent path this year, but I still think there's a decent rebuild there for Matt Campbell in Happy Valley. So I would not bet on anybody in the field within the next year. I think, too, you look at Michigan and you have a lot of positive after everything that happened. But like Bryce Underwood, I watched their spring game. It's at the point where they had a true freshman named Tommy Carr that came in. He was originally committed, I think, like Miami of Ohio. And he comes in and he outplays Bryce Underwood in the spring game significantly. And the biggest worry is that it's all the same things, all the same problems continue to pop up for Bryce Underwood, just poor mechanics, and he's just always trying to fire missiles in there, and it was not very good at all. I think he completed like 3 or 4 out of his 12 passes. So you almost have this big question in Ann Arbor about what's that going to be. Is Whittingham going to be able to develop him? And I don't I think if you can't truly develop a quarterback like that, with you're paying $10 million plus, you got problems there. Overall, I look around and I don't really know if there's too much of a challenge to Indiana, Oregon, and Ohio State. I feel like they're comfortably sitting at the top for the foreseeable next couple years.
Are you in or out on a 24-team playoff? Because it feels like it's going to happen, whether we like it or not. Where are you at on it?
I'm so out. I'm so out. It's so disappointing to, you know, it feels like it's going to ruin a lot of things. I think rivalry weekend at the end of the year, there's going to be so many teams where you really feel like, all right, do we sit some of our guys? Because I think that becomes a reality when you're sitting at 24 teams. You go back and you look at some of these teams over the years since the college football playoff era started, and you look at teams that would be 23rd, 24th. You're looking at like 4 or 5 lost teams even some years that are ranked 23rd, 24th at the end of the year. And it's like we're inviting that into the playoffs, and so it really does become a bit of a mockery. But I think the coaches, they want it, because if I'm a coach, sounds a lot better to say that I was in the playoffs last year than I was coaching in the ReliaQuest Bowl. Like, you know, I was out of the Honolulu Bowl. You know, so like, I think that's why the coaches are all behind it. So I don't know. I think it's bad. The TV will obviously like it. I do wonder how it's going to affect. I mean, I think we're going to see changes. I could see more cutting of the out of conference schedule in those early games. I mean, as these players are demanding more money, because this is a big reason why it happened. The players need to get paid more money, and everybody's trying to keep up. And so we need more TV revenue. You need all of it. And so you want bigger games. So I think that is, you know, the one thing. Yes, there's maybe technically more high stake games. Still think there'll be a decent amount of blowouts in those games, but I would also be on the lookout for maybe the early season to change. There's talks of, you're going to have to kind of figure some stuff out and move some games up, because they want to be done no later than the second week in January. And you're going to have to do that, because you start to deal with people enrolling in classes, and, you know, that starts mid to early, you know, mid, depending if you're trimester. It's, you know, so it's a whole headache, but it all comes down to really the money problem. And I think that is ultimately why it's happening.
Well, the good news is the Pop-Tart Bowl now is going to be a playoff game. And I, for one, need to kill a Pop-Tart and see an Eaton with a playoff advancement happening between the two teams. That's the good news out of it. Great stuff. You know what? Next time we get you on, we'll get you on for one of our more lengthier segments, because I had more questions, so follow-up. So let's hold that. And then we'll get you on down the road. Landon Tangwall, our guest here. You can find his show on YouTube. He's got the Oregon Duck Breakdown. He is great. He's a ball knower. He breaks everything down and makes it way easier for all the simpletons out there like myself. Thank you so much for hopping on with us, Landon. We appreciate it, and let's catch up with you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Landon Tangwall, the breakdown of your Oregon Ducks in spring football.
It was an accurate breakdown, man. Everything he said was spot on from the spring game.
That's a guy that you can tell, like, actually watches other teams and doesn't just, like...
If you're referencing third and fourth depth pieces on the defensive line, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just, they're going to be good. They got their starters back.
Does Kirk Herbstreit know who Elijah Rushing is? I don't know.
I don't think he does.
Landon Tangwall does. Good stuff from him. Maybe a little follow-up, but also we have breaking news in the National Football League. Let's get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. A lot to get into that we haven't even touched on yet today. One of the things, it's a Magic Hat Thursday, by the way. So we get to the Magic Hat coming up in the final hour of the radio program. We had breaking news like a minute before Landon hopped on. Did you see it?
Your guy.
My guy.
Your guy is back, baby.
Old ass.
This is the year.
Old ass Aaron Rodgers basically telling the Steelers, the hell, you will move on from me.
I'm playing again.
Drew Aller, you know.
No.
Will Howard, no way.
You step to the side, young
Mason
boys.
Rudolph could never. Aaron Rodgers, one last go-around with the Steelers. If I was a Steelers fan, I'd just be screaming into the void at this point.
Yeah, I just, like, what is the point? I don't understand it.
What is that team going to be?
I don't get it.
Mike McCarthy, I think, deserves a little more respect. When he was a Cowboy coach, coincidentally, we debated, why do we not look at Mike McCarthy the way we look at Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, you brought that up. The numbers are
very similar. Identical. They both have the one Super Bowl, and it's just like
it was a long time ago. Yeah. They're living off of that success.
Yes, yeah. But one we viewed as kind of a joke, and I think part of that was McCarthy was like, "I studied a lot of tape," and then he came out, "I didn't study any tape." He totally lied to get the job, but he ended up having a nice little run with the Cowboys. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but like, dude, they were a good team.
I don't think they won a playoff game. Did they? Did they win a playoff game? Who cares? Yeah.
They were good.
They won like 12 games every year and lost in the playoffs.
Yes, exactly.
They were the Cowboys.
Yeah.
They have always been that.
Yeah.
My whole life.
My point was just to simply say, like, all right. But then they fired Tomlin for Mike McCarthy.
Made it funny.
And people were like, wait, what? You're hiring the same coach, just white.
Yeah.
And he's more offensive-based than defensive-based. So I have a lot of questions about the Steelers. I don't, you know, my only stuff on the Steelers lately feels like it's been me trashing the organization that I think has been one of the best run organizations in sports history. But their refusal to care about the quarterback position any time in the last whatever many years it's been since Roethlisberger left.
Hey, speak for yourself, man. They used a third round pick on Drew Aller, didn't they? Didn't he go in the third round?
Yeah, third round pick. Yeah. Will Howard's there, don't you know? But Aaron Rodgers now, people were wondering on the internet, is he going to be a Cardinal? And people in Arizona were like, no, I don't know where this came from.
We don't want him.
He's going to fly in this weekend, and he's told the team, I'm coming in this weekend, and I'm signing that one-year contract.
Let's get that deal done,
so
baby.
Get ready for the, you know, the victory goodbye tour of Aaron Rodgers this year.
For the love of God, can this please be it? Can we just put an end to this thing? There's a level of appreciating greatness, which he certainly is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time from a talent standpoint. Also, dude, enough is enough.
I'm super bummed, actually.
I would prefer, if I were a Steeler fan, I'd be livid right now, because it felt like the Tomlin thing. The jokes about McCarthy are spot on. It's a fresh start with hiring the same coach almost, but he is a Yinzer himself. He's a Pittsburgh guy, though, don't you know? He grew up around the Steamboats, right?
Is actually pretty good.
It's a homecoming for him. Like, there's definitely that angle to it. Mm-hmm. It signals to me of like, all right, let's have a fresh start to this entire thing. And bringing back Aaron Rodgers accomplishes nothing. He'll have a moment. He'll have a play. He can't be an elite quarterback for 17 weeks anymore. He's not going to carry you. He's not going to win
playoff
games. Can he
be elite at all anymore is the question. Like,
no.
I think he could be fine.
They're not good enough around him to carry him to those levels. And it's just like, wouldn't you rather just roll the dice of one of your – like, I'm not saying start Drew Aller right away. He's a third-round pick, and he was barely ready to start at Penn State at times, it felt like. But they said good things about Howard behind the scenes last year. Like, just throw him out there. See what you got.
I know.
And the worst thing that can happen is what? He sucks. What's next year? It's a great quarterback class.
Draft.
At least as of now, we're saying on paper, next year's class is deep. So if it doesn't pan out for you, throw the rookies out there, see if the Wolves eat them. And if they do, then great. You go draft a quarterback next year. What are you accomplishing bringing Aaron Rodgers in for another season? It makes no sense.
I don't know, but also he had nowhere else to go.
I don't care.
No, I know.
Let
I'm
him
just
retire.
Saying, like,
walk away.
Ow.
Hang him up, buddy. Go be a backup somewhere if you want. I don't care.
I think he's
it's
a
not
guy.
My responsibility as a Steeler organization.
He would probably deny this if ever asked. I think if we're being honest, don't you view him as a guy that wants his goodbye, even though he'll like begrudgingly get it?
He doesn't want anything to do with the media, man.
I don't want fame. I'm not after that.
He doesn't want attention.
I'm after the truth and the light.
I don't say anything controversial.
And my made-up wife.
Easy.
We're going to see her this weekend?
Easy. She doesn't like being in the limelight, Brandon. Don't be a jerk, okay?
If it comes
she
out,
didn't sign up for this life.
If it comes out in 4 years that people close to him admit they never met her one time and saw her, we need to have a conversation. That needs to be a segment. A made-up wife would be wild. I don't believe he actually is making her up.
No,
but I'm also kind of like wondering, why has nobody ever talked about her?
She doesn't like being in the limelight.
I've never even seen her.
He did an interview on McAfee, and he was very defensive about this.
Yeah, I know he was.
She did not sign up for this life.
You know who didn't pop up
she
in the video the way Devontae Adams did?
Sign up for the paparazzi. She doesn't want this. Okay?
Okay.
She wants to be in the background, and we're going to respect her wishes.
Okay.
Okay?
So I will respect the wishes and not talk
for
about
AR-12. We're going to respect. Or AR-8 now? Is he 8 in Pittsburgh? Right? 8?
Eight.
Yeah. I digress.
Well, anyways, he's got to be a Pittsburgh Steeler again.
Yay! They're going to win 8 games.
If we
and
were
probably
doing
be a wild card.
If we were doing a show in Pittsburgh, I'm already like feeling uneasy. But at least the idea of Will Howard or Aller and seeing what it is and saying, okay, well, if it's nothing, the draft, because they have not cared about that since Roethlisberger.
No.
And what year was that? 2004.
They took two gloves in the first round.
Nobody
which everybody's like,
that.
What have we done?
Dude,
what? That's a first round pick.
But
because of a fake slide in a bowl game?
If I'm hosting right now in Pittsburgh and that news breaks, I'm coming back and talking about how we're going to have an entire calendar year of our lives wasted on an absolute nothing situation going nowhere. Because this is what's going to happen. It's one thing to play Aller or Howard and be bad and have the idea of a prospect.
Or maybe they show flashes and you're bad, but even then you're like, all right, you can sell me on the future there.
It's another to go Rodgers when 8-9 games, maybe make the wild card or have the worst possible pick of the first round choices.
Yeah.
And that's what they're lining up
for.
Remember
that playoff game against Houston?
It's crazy.
I think Houston's defense had more touchdowns than their offense in the game.
They did.
They completely
and they won like 33-7 or something. I didn't remember what the score was.
I thought that was going to be enough of like, all right, dude, I'm tapping out. I don't want to do this anymore. Yay!
Loaded third hour. Aaron Rodgers back in Pittsburgh. We got a mail sack to get to in the fourth hour. But hour number three is next. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.